joining the Red River Farm Network is the Beef Checkoff current leader, Jared Brackett. And Jared, just by way of introduction, remind folks of where you hail from and a little bit about your operation.
Thanks, Megan. So I'm Jared Brackett. I'm from Southern Idaho. My wife and I have a cow-calf operation here we run, and then we also retain ownership and put our cattle in a couple different branded programs. So I understand the pain that everybody's going through right now, and I especially understand the pain that people who are selling livestock in this market are going through, because we're currently selling fat cattle right now, and it's a little discouraging sometimes.
And Jared, on that note, in these times of uncertainty, I know originally when we talked, you know, back at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November, there was a very different message coming from the Beef Checkoff as you were working to enhance some producer communications. And now I feel like a lot of the focus has really switched back to the consumer and the producer. How are we tailoring that messaging during these uncertain times?
Well, definitely has, you know, and our contractors, and I give them a lot of credit, have very nimbly shifted their message. We've gone from trying to do, you know, larger events to back to more consumer-focused deals with, like, recipes and what can people cook at home and how do we cut meat, you know, how do we use certain cuts of meat from the grocery store. The other thing that they've done is they've gone and they're working with restaurants to make beef a more takeout friendly option. I mean, it's pretty hard to do a takeout steak, but if you do like beef bites or finger steaks or something to that effect, it's a lot easier to take that product home as far as a takeout. But we're still working with our producers as well. The producer communications is still important to us. We still want to hear what they have to say. We want to know what's happening in their neck of the woods. We really am curious if they go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, they can sure tell us. I'm getting an earful from a lot of different people. And sometimes I have to gently remind them that, you know, we're not involved in policy decisions and all we can do is promotion. And that's what we're trying to focus on. If there's a consumer out there who wants to get some more information, you know, they can go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, or they can also, go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com, and that'll give them some ideas as far as maybe how to cook some of these different products that they haven't cooked before, or, you know, people are having to figure out how to dust off their cookbooks again. So we're doing everything we can to help people get through this troubling times.
And over the past week to 10 days or so, Jared, the buzz within the industry has really been highlighting some of the food supply chain and assuring those consumers that, you know, we're working through any issues that there may be specifically within beef. What's the message to consumers as they're walking the aisles of the grocery store or trying to order specific products? Because, you know, some of those grocery store shelves have gotten barren and we're hearing of the packing plants starting to decrease some of their output. And so how are we working through these different supply chain issues?
You know, it's a really interesting time because we have got what we would consider a potential shortage of beef in the grocery stores, but there's a surplus in the country. So we've got some choke points that we're working on. And one of those deals that we're working on is making sure that these packing plants, that as they have to close down for a time period or cut their kills so they can do proper safety measures to proper cleaning measures, we want to make sure that the American consumer continues to get the best and safest cuts of meat that they can get. And one of the ways we do that is to make sure that USDA inspectors are in there and making sure that these plants are processing the meat the way that it's supposed to be done. Some of these things are out of our control, but I want the American consumer and our fellow beef producers to know that I have every bit of faith in our industry and the USDA to get through this and get through this safely. I have no problem eating any cut of meat that we find in the store. There's no issue with any contamination. If there was, the USDA would find out about it. You know, there are things in place for that, such as recalls and stuff that we have not seen, and I don't believe we will see one of those.
And I guess my final question for you, Jared, is, well, you're a producer yourself, as we talked about to start the conversation. You pay into the beef checkoff as well. So during these times of depressed commodity and livestock prices, how is the beef checkoff ensuring that you stay viable as an organization?
You know, so the beef checkoff is continuing to try to drive demand for beef. We want to make sure that our consumers still understand and relate to U.S. beef as being one of the most nutritious and safest products in the world. And we have that reputation and we have that image. We want to continue that going forward. And that's probably where the checkoff can do its best work. Profitability is not really something that the checkoff is directly related with. You know, as a producer, it really bothers me when I trade that pen of cattle that I traded 3 weeks ago and they went 42% choice or prime and 58% choice, and I got $1.09 for them. I mean, that's $20 under what I got last year, and that hurts a little bit. But that's a policy issue that policy groups are going to take care of. So I would tell my fellow producers that, hey, you know, keep doing what you do best, and that's producing safe, nutritious beef. And then let's figure out these policy issues with these policy groups. But let the checkoff continue to move forward in driving demand for beef.
Exactly. Without the demand, there's no need for the supply.
That's exactly right. And I think we have a great demand for this product. We're going to have, these are unprecedented things we're seeing right now. And if you want to actually look at things in a like a glass half full type scenario, the fact that, you know, we're only killing around 90 to 100,000 head a week right now, while it's painful, our slaughter capacity is so much greater than that, that if this were to happen in midsummer, July or August, when we're closer to full capacity at slaughter deal, it would be a lot more painful. And I know that's not very helpful to a lot of people who are losing money right now, but as a general beef industry, this would be the time if we have a slowdown in kills because we have such a smaller amount of product right now to be killed compared to later in the summer when our capacity is so much tighter.